Everyone, and welcome to your NASA Weekly Update for the week commencing Monday the 26th of June 2023. It's Gary here again, and you might have already been able to tell that we don't have the wonderful technical expertise of Chris to do the intro and outro for the pod this week, so I just remixed that myself from a previous YouTube clip that we have from a previous pod as well. I'm doing my best here, folks, and I hope that's going to be okay for this week. So what that actually means as well is that it won't be available on YouTube. He's travelling to see family this week, so it's just going to be for folks that have access to this on their podcast as well, unless they can get a chance to maybe upload it a little bit later in the week. I'm not 100% sure about that, but typically if we miss the Monday, we just kind of skip that week from a YouTube perspective anyway. Anywho, on to the content for this week, and you know what? I'm hoping that even just purely by the energy and sound of my voice that you can tell that I'm pretty much recovered from NASA 2023 in Toronto. Well, I'm kind of hoping that I am. I'm still a wee bit sluggish, a wee bit tired, but for the most part, kind of back to feeling like I normally feel. And as I say, I'm pretty sure I have to sound better than last week. The actual music that I got there for the intro was from last week, and I was like, who's that guy? Who's that guy talking on my podcast? That's awful. So that was me just after arriving last Monday night. And it's, you know, it gets, what could you say? It gets tiring at these events, and it's just a pure lack of sleep. That's really what makes it so tiring for me. Something like that anyway, you know, because I tend to try and have my partying once the kind of parties are done. Well, I actually have my party before it, then I have the party at the night, then I have a wee party after it as well, and then I do that for 5 or 6 nights in a row, and then I wonder why I am tired after that. But anyway, what I was hoping to say at the beginning of this week's pod was that I'm hoping I'm sounding better in two different ways. One, because I'm physically feeling better about that. And then two, I did buy some new technical equipment on the weekend there, and I was hoping to use it tonight, but I'm not able to use it. I'm actually in the car again at Leo's athletics practice, so I'm just using the same equipment as I've been using for the last wee while, so you probably won't hear a difference. But from next week onwards, the intent will be to record at home and use my swanky new setup, and I'm really hoping that that's going to make a literal audible difference for everyone, because there's a tiny wee bit of an echo that I've noticed in some of the recordings if I've listened back to them, and I want to try and get rid of that, because I want to take this seriously, and I want this to be the best experience that everyone can possibly have, myself for recording of course, but more importantly for everyone listening as well. So hoping, as I say, that from next week onwards that you'll get a better experience, and if I have to record it on a mobile perspective, you would then get to hear that going forward, where you're like, oh, that's definitely not his typical recording experience that he's got going. I would tell you that anyway, but just to give you a bit of an idea. So that's what I was hoping to say. It's not actually worked out that way. Time just kind of beat me today. I was hoping to record at lunchtime, but that just did not happen. Anyway, I hope you're all doing great, and I hope you all had a great week. Are you missing Rangers yet? You know what? I'm getting there now. I really am. I didn't mention it last week on the pod because I was too busy going through all the convention stuff, but at the convention, I got the new Rangers shirt, and I have to say, I really, really like this one. I say that every single year when I get it, you know, because I'm really biased, but it's a really exciting time of the year to get your new Rangers shirt and know that you're going to wear that, you know, 30, 40, 50 times over the next kind of nine months or so. And I have to say, I really like it. I think the material is much better than it was last year. It's a lot lighter, a lot softer. It's not the Pro Top, but it's you know, the other, whatever you call the other regular top, the replica shirt. Last year was, the material just wasn't very pliable. There wasn't a lot of play in it, and it was a wee bit kind of rough on the skin sort of thing. And, you know, I'm obviously a sensitive soul. I like my skin to have nice things rubbing against. But I love this one, I have to say. I haven't worn it since we got back, but it's all washed and hanging up in the cupboard, and I'll get a chance to wear that this weekend, I'm sure. And if I change my mind on that, I'll let you know next week. And you'll have seen that they also launched the away kit this last week as well, and and a lot of people are really, really raving about it, really like it. I have to say, I think this one's going to take a wee while to grow on me. For some reason, I'm not 100% sure why, but I'm just not totally feeling this one just yet. And it might be because of the material of the away shirt last year as well. Again, the same kind of, just a wee bit rougher, a wee bit less pliable and stuff, and it's not really my jam, to be dead honest. But the new home shirt is a cracker, and I'm really, really looking forward to wearing it. And that's when I started to get to, you know, have those pangs of, you know what, I wish the season was starting, you know, that sort of feeling. Anyway, it won't be long before we start looking forward to the pre-season friendlies, of which I'm not a huge fan of, but it'll just be good to see the team shaping up together and kind of getting back into a kind of match day groove as well, of course, as we look to embark upon our quest for 56. In terms of the pod for this week, it'll be a wee bit of RTV, some convention and some communication, lots of activity on the Rangers front from a communication perspective this past week or so there. For the RTV, the deadline for our survey for season 23-24 was last Friday, and this is going to shock you, so please sit down before you listen to this. Not every club responded, so now we have to play that wee dance that we have to play of chasing the delinquent clubs to get a sense of what NASA's collective requirements and overall support model is going to be. You know what? It would be nice just one time if every club complied with our needs, you know, which... We don't make up these needs just for a laugh or just for a sense of fun or anything like that. You know, we have a short window before next season, and it would be good to be in a position to be fully organised well in advance of the season to avoid any last minute rush and give everyone the requisite time possible to kind of do our jobs. You know, that's a big sigh moment for me, you know, and I don't want to sound like I'm on a downer, you know, I'm still upbeat about it, but... For the delinquent clubs who are listening, please get on with this. Give us the detail back. It's literally two lines you need to write back on an email to tell us what's going to happen, and then we'll get back around the table with RTV once we've had a chance to collate all the results and put it together. But just as a wee recap, as a reminder of what we were asking for the clubs, and if you are one of the delinquent ones, take heed of what I'm just about to say. You get an opportunity to choose what type and style of subscription you're going to have for RTV for next season. You could subscribe, for example, to all the RTV matches, only weekend matches, only midweek matches, only games that are exclusive to RTV, which is essentially just the home games, or you could completely unsubscribe altogether from NASA's RTV services. You get an opportunity to tell us what that is, and then if you are taking RTV services, what a realistic per game fee will be for your club as well. That's all we're asking for. What your preferred broadcast cadence is and what your cost is. It's not even two sentences, like I said earlier there. And then when we get all the information, we'll collate it. We'll see what the model looks like for next season. I have a feeling it's going to be a wee bit of a mixed bag, but we'll see. You haven't the results, actually. Sandra just literally sent the results in the last half hour or so. For right now, that's, 6:57 p.m. for me, and Sandra just sent it over a wee while back there, so I'll get a chance to take a peek at that once I'm done recording for tonight. And then we'll see what that looks like in terms of the admin and financial management going forward. So more to come on that in the coming weeks. But I truly, truly hope that the freedom and flexibility that we have introduced for each club will help in some way, and to be able to continue and use as much as possible RTV for their game provider of choice. For shout outs for this week, I did want to acknowledge that I was told after last week's pod, I was told the fourth winner of the golf, and it was a fellow, I was told he was called Stormin Norman. I think that's how he was actually introduced at the golf as well, but he's also known as Norman Bell from Toronto Central Rangers Supporters Club. So congratulations to Norman, to Phil, to Brian, and of course to Andy Gray, who did not shut his trap about it the whole weekend last weekend. So I'm glad to have that one wrapped up, and I wasn't going to put that in a what Gaz got wrong, because I'm not 100% sure that's, if I don't quite remember something, I don't know if that's getting it wrong. At the same time, I'm going to stick with that anyway. I'd also like to send out a big shout out to the wonderful Audrey Mills, who is not only an ARSA convention regular, a convention attendee regular, but now I think she's just assumed the role of my official quality shortbread provider at the conventions as well. Yeah, that's a thing, folks. And Audrey got in and stole a march on everyone else who was maybe thinking about being that for me. So last year in Las Vegas, Audrey came over. I think it was on the Sunday. I'm fairly sure it was on the Sunday at the leaving do, either just before or just after we did the live Heart and Hand show. and gave me the most incredible box or tin of Queen Elizabeth Platinum Jubilee shortbread from Marks and Spencer's. And at the time it was a gift to say how sorry she was for the passing of my dad, and here's just a wee thing to let you know I'm thinking about you. And it was such a wonderful, beautiful gesture from her. So then last weekend, I wasn't even expecting anything. It was just nice to see her and say hello. And Audrey went and did it again and gave me another box of Marks and Spencer shortbread commemorating the coronation of King Charles. Yes, so I'm mentioning this right now to ensure that this actually is a thing going forward for every single convention from Las Vegas forward. And hopefully that's a trend that will continue over the coming years. But in all seriousness, Audrey, thank you very, very much for that. I really, really appreciate it. I opened the box last night, and oh boy, these are absolutely incredible shortbread. It's just unbelievable. You get shortbread here at some of the British shops and stuff like that, and then you have some of the Marks and Spencer stuff. Wow. Oof. Anyway, thank you very, very much, my friend, and I look forward to whatever it is you're going to surprise me with in New York next year. On the topic of food, I just also wanted to say thanks very much to my chocolate and pepperami smugglers, and that would be Fraser McLean and Rosie Ratter from the Holiday and Flight Centre. Thanks to both, I now have a cupboard and fridge full of the good stuff that will last me for quite some time to come, I have to say. So it's amazing when you use the power of media to guilt people into smuggling food across the border and stuff like that. It's just great. I absolutely love it. But thanks a million for that as well. Another shout out I did want to extend today was our condolences to the family and friends of Scotland manager Craig Brown, who sadly passed away today at the age of 82. And this one was a bit of a shocker, I have to say, to wake up to today, as there didn't seem to be any indication in any media that I look at anyway that he was in any way sick. So I'm not 100% sure what happened to him, but you know, really in the grand scheme of things, that really doesn't matter. And he was, of course, a very successful Scottish manager, Scotland first team manager, and indeed was the last guy to take us to a World Cup final back in 1998. And he always just struck me as being a thoroughly nice guy. And at the time, I was like, going to stop being so nice. It was kind of boring, to be dead honest, but you know, like as you get older and you appreciate, you know, the niceness in people and things like that, it was something that will always stick with me in terms of a memory of Craig Brown as well. And I'm sure his loss will be felt much further afield than just Scotland at this time as well. So on behalf of NASA, I'd like to pass on our sincere condolences, as I say, to his family and friends. So not to finish on a wee bit of a sadder note for this week, the final shout out I have for this week is I wanted to extend a massive congratulations to the greatest ever ranger himself, Mr. John Gregg, on being awarded the CBE in His Majesty the King's first birthday honours list. Mr. Gregg, as you probably know already, has an MBE. So I think now, to me anyway, logic, it stands to reason that the next thing deserving of his immense status and stature in the game is a knighthood. Who's with me? Should we go on a campaign, get him a knighthood, or should we just wait and just get that organised for New Year time? I don't know. Let's see. Let's sit on that. But from everyone at NASA, I'd like to say a massive congratulations. Well done and well deserved, Mr. Gregg. It's incredible recognition for a great man. And just kind of talking about the possibility of going on a campaign to get him a knighthood. You know, you might remember, was it last year or 2 years, a year and a half ago or so, we had ourselves, NARSA, ORSA, the Four Lads Had a Dream blog, and the Heart and Hand community had banded together to try and get Andy Gray inducted into the Scottish Football Hall of Fame. That ended up kind of going a wee bit quiet, because the person who I was dealing with on that at the Scottish Museum actually retired, and then the fellow who took over from him was like, oh yeah, I'm sure there's a process about that, I'm not 100% sure what's happening, maybe we should try and find out, I don't know, maybe, you know. So I kind of felt like I was talking to, you know, the janitor who just picked up the phone sort of thing and was like, hey, there's nobody here, something like that. So it just actually made me start to think that I'm going to make an effort to resurrect that and see if we can get that organised for Andy, especially being so fresh in the memory of his outstanding presence at the convention last weekend there as well. So yeah, a gentle reminder for Gary there as well. On the convention for NASA 2024, I can I'm going to say officially, but officially is in inverted commas here. So just imagine the old air quotes here. I can officially confirm that it is 339 days and 48 weeks until NARSA 2024 in New York City. And that's based on the assumption that we can confirm the dates of the 30th of May to the 1st of June 2024, which I need to be very, very clear about that. They are not formally officially confirmed as yet. I am literally looking at the contract right now, and I'll get that reviewed and finished as soon as I actually finish recording here. That's two things I have to do. As soon as I've finished recording, and then we'll get the first draft comments back to the hotel. But more about that in a wee second. But similar to last week, you know, we are just about there. We don't have the signed contract yet. I need to be super clear about that. But we did get a draft copy of the contract. And I'm probably about 5/6 of the way through. I'm just in all the terms and conditions at the end, and I just want to make sure that I can get a proper review of them to make sure that they say what they're supposed to say. And then what our process is that we then give that back to the hotel. I run it past the guys on the convention committee for this year, and that's going to be Brian Campbell, Billy Ferguson, of course, and then we're going to add Alec Grant to that as both our treasurer and as a representative of the host club. And we will, I'll give them my comments and see if they have any additional comments. We'll add that to a spreadsheet. We get back to the hotel saying clause X on page Y. Why does it say that? Can we have that number look like this? Well, you didn't add that, and we usually get that sort of thing. So we about to and fro over the next week. The hotel are keen that we would be signing, you know, sometime in the next week or so, if possible, and some of the conditions on the contract are stipulated as a signing in early July as well. So you never know, maybe we might be in a position this time next week to be able to formally confirm that we have everything signed and it's all good to go. And if that's the case, I would be absolutely thrilled, because sometimes this can take a wee bit longer than we all want. One thing I did want to mention was something that we had discussed at the AGM, and I was going to mention it last week, but last week ended up kind of going on a wee bit longer than I thought, and it was just a wee bit of chatter afterwards, to the point where I thought I would like to clarify that with anyone who listens to the podcast. And what it's about is our modified approach or process to selecting venues for future conventions. What I said at the AGM was that going forward, simply raising your hand as a host club and saying that you want to host is no longer a guarantee that you know the host club will actually get the hosting responsibilities. What it will do is it'll get you as a host on the list for potential hosts in the future. And then after that point at the AGM, typically is when it happens, we, like the NARSA executive and the potential club, will sit down and figure out their plans, their potential locations, their plans for the periphery events of the golf and the football and the leaving do and any excursions, and just basically assess their ability to be a successful partner for NASA and, of course, for our guests for a future convention. And that's basically it. It's really, really important, folks. We really, really need to get these right and make sure that we give our guests the best overseas Rangers experience possible in locations and with entertainment itineraries that will have the Blue Noses desperate to be a part of it and desperate not to miss it. That's our overall aim and the goal of what we're doing with these conventions going forward. It's to have folks say, I just can't miss this. I can't. This is the first thing that's on the calendar. So hence the reason for picking places like New York and things like that as we go forward as well. So I just wanted to clear that up, because there was just a bit of chatter saying that maybe it was a wee bit misunderstood as to what I meant. And it just used to be, we're not constitutionally bound by this, by the way, you know, but it's just, if someone puts their hand up in the past, that's automatically meant that they get it. And it sometimes ended up being a wee bit painful for us going forward, because they don't actually know what's involved in it. So the purpose of us sitting down with them would be to say, these are your responsibilities, these are our responsibilities, this is a rough timeline, this is a success, this is what success looks like, sorry. Things like that, you know, to give them an opportunity to say, oh, actually, you know what, I just thought it was we organised a wee leaving doing the Sunday and everything was going to be okay. So it's going to be fair for all parties as we go forward. So if anybody has any questions about that, please do reach out to me and I'll try and clarify it a wee bit further. On the communication front for this week, a few key appointments in the staffing, our backroom staffing, leadership staffing at the club this past week that I did want to just kind of run through super quickly. Normally I would put in a link to the article on the Rangers website, but I don't think I'll bother doing that this week. There are three or four of them. I can't remember exactly what it is, and I'm fairly sure that you've probably read them anyway. So I'll just leave it as what I'm going to say, and we'll just for the communication section, we'll just put a wee note in for that. I'll do that when I get home tonight. But the first one is we reappointed Dr. Mark Waller to what is now a new role of Director of Medical and Performance with the club. And I think this is critical, and I don't think I've seen anything online. And as you probably know, if you're a regular listener, I'm not online that much, but when I'm online and I'm looking at things, you get a general feel for the first few comments of things on Twitter, or it's mostly Twitter I would be on, maybe not so much Facebook, but you know, this seems to have been met with, you know, universal approval and thanks and gratitude from the fans. I think we all know how difficult a time the club had of it last season in terms of the injuries sustained, the rehabilitation that was managed, and the recoveries enjoyed or really not enjoyed, and not that all of these would be the fault of the medical staff that were in place at the time last year, but it seemed to be that there was just an element of, if I could say, overwhelm attached to the squad for last year in terms of their health, their overall general physical health. So hopefully the investment in resourcing this critical area is going to pay off for us for next year and beyond. I can't remember in the article if it said he had signed a specific term of a deal or he's just here as a permanent employment. I'm not 100% sure, but great to see him back. I think he joined us when Steven Gerrard and his revolution started back in 2018, so it's a familiar place for him. He's familiar with the manager, obviously familiar with the physicality of the place and things like that, so great news on that front. And that announcement came hot on the heels of the club confirming Zeb Jacobs as the academy director in the wake of course, Craig Mulholland departing the club there. And Zeb was head of academy coaching for the past 18 months and is now taking the step up to basically run the entire show over at the Rangers Training Centre. So if you get a chance to read the article on the Rangers website, I would encourage you specifically to read this one, because the fellow speaks very, very well. I mean, I know you're only reading it, but you can just, I could tell anyway that the excitement just in his words and the delivery and what he believes that he can achieve in the academy as well speaks very well of everything that we're doing, and just speaks to the potential of what we could achieve as a club, you know, going forward. So that's fantastic. Very young guy as well. I think he's still in his 20s. So you can just see and feel that. I mean, obviously Dr. Mark Waller, he's in his 60s, so maybe that brings the age coefficient to mid 40s or something like that. But you know, it's just good that you've got young guys with fresh ideas, you know, coming in to hopefully make their mark and stamp on the club. And in terms of the footballing side, we also had Joe Potter confirmed as the new head coach of the women's team, the women's first team, so, you know, replacing Malky Thompson, who reverted back to his previous role. So it really is all moving along nicely. It seems to be moving along nicely in the footballing department. And as far as I can see now, as far as I can tell, the one last main appointment to be made would be, you know, determining who's replacing Ross Wilson as the sporting director or director of football, whatever the title would be, when that person gets the nod to come in. Michael Beale has taken a very active role in the player recruitment since returning to the club, and he's been quite vocal and quite open about that as well. But I would imagine that we would still be looking for further support in that area, because it's not just player recruitment, it's just making sure everything's ticking over completely on the sporting side of the. So, I mean, I wonder if they're just kind of taking a bit of convalescence after Ross Wilson's departure and just seeing what they're going to do and you know, where the actual gaps are and what's actually needed when the rest of the roles are filled. You'd have thought the director of football or sporting director would have maybe wanted to be involved in some of that stuff, but you have to, it's an ebb and a flow when you're recruiting. You don't always get what you want when you want it, so we'll see about that. Unless I'm completely mistaken and the club has came out and says we're not backfilling that role and that's it, I don't think that's the case, but maybe if that is the case, then please feel free to correct me on that. And the final announcement on a very busy week, as I'd mentioned, it was the announcement earlier today on the appointment of Karim Virani as Chief Commercial Officer. And checking out the article on the Rangers website, you could see that Kareem has had a very varied background in and around the sports industry, not only the sports industry, and but none more so than performing the same role of Chief Commercial Officer for West Ham United. And his time with West Ham United was from 2015 to 2020, albeit he had a variety of roles leading up to the Chief Commercial Officer role, so I'm not exactly sure how long he was in that role. But it seems like the fella's got a great pedigree, some really good contacts, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know him and working with him. I did send him a quick welcome and congratulatory note over LinkedIn earlier this morning, and he was very kind, pointed and gracious in his reply, and with the one main thing for me being the fact that he was already aware of who we are, who Narsa are, where we are, what we're working on in conjunction with the club and the league. So that's a great start for me, and I'm hoping to set up some time with him shortly here just to gauge what his plans are and where, if or where, Narsa can fit in. But it's just a great, you know, when you start to think about progress in terms of, you know, when James Bisgrove came in, he's been with us now for just over 4 years, and you know, he comes in, he has no idea really who Rangers are, what we're about. You know, he's always been very polite. I like James a lot, as I've talked about that before. But we're not starting from that spot now, because, you know, he's now, Kareem is now in, and he already knows who we are. He already knows what we're doing. He already knows, you know, where we can maybe, you know, try to continue to work together a wee bit closer and trying to, you know, make sure that the Rangers name is commercially viable in our continent and beyond as well. So it's great. Just another wee check box, you know, just to kind of give an idea of where we're at as a club and where we're at as a membership, of course, over here at Narsa as well. Okay, my friends, that will actually do it for this week. As always, I always like to take this opportunity to thank you very, very, very much for taking the time to listen, and please do share it with whomever you think might enjoy it. It's always great when I get to the conventions and I speak to a bunch of different people who say that they listen to the podcast, and every now and again I'm like, I think we might have more than 10 listeners. I think we might be in double figures. You never know. But it seems like that, or maybe it's just my blurry memory and it's the same person telling me that, and it's and it's just the one person all the time, I don't know. But anyway, it would be great to spread the word, it would be great to get things out there. You maybe see some modifications on our podding work as we go forward, as Connor Gunn settles himself into the role of our social media guy. He's got some big and bold ideas of how we're going to kind of expand this a wee bit, but I don't know too much about that until I get a chance to sit down and talk to him about it as well, so we'll get that figured out with him and Lorraine over the next wee while. So until next week, here's to a wee bit more activity in the transfer market for our beloved club. We started off with a frenzy, and then it's went kind of quiet, but hopefully we'll get some more in the door over the next week or so as we gear up, because by the way, it's not going to be long till these friendlies start, and then that's when, you know, you're counting down the weeks. What would that be 5 weeks before the start of the season, something like that, must be. So it's getting close. Anyway, until next week, please do take care of yourself and all the very best. Okay, cheerio.